I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. This show is, as usual, recorded on Tuesday. So I guess in Mississippi, that is primary day in the state of Mississippi. From what I've heard, and I'll be honest with you, I have paid only glancing attention to it. I'm not expecting a whole lot of upsets or interesting things to come out of it, but here's hoping. It'll be very interesting to see exactly what takes place. I've got some stuff in the show today. And I'm really wondering, this is the kind of time I wish I did a call-in show, like a pretty long call-in show, so I could really, really get some input from the people out there. Because I'm really wildly confused on what is Democrat and what is Republican, what is conservative and what is liberal. Because from where I sit as an observer, it seems like people are just jumping back and forth across the line. From one thing to another. And I'll show you today through some of the clips and some of the news that we've got for today's show that the source of my confusion. So we'll get to that. I found a quote of the day today that I think could probably be the kind of like the permanent quote of the day for this show. This is by an Andre Gide. It's probably Gide or something like that. It's G-I-D-E, Andre G-I-D-E. And he said this, quote, "Everything that needs to be said has already been said. But since no one was listening, everything must be said again. Everything that needs to be said has already been said. But since nobody was listening, everything must be said again." And I think that my show is guilty of that to a great degree. I've probably covered many topics repeatedly over and over, but I feel the need to do it. Number one, you know, you get new listeners to a show. Number two, I always know traditional conservative talk radio listeners probably don't know exactly what I'm talking about. It may take 4 or 5 times for me to drive a point home. Ran across this clip. I don't know how to attribute this. This was in a movie. I've seen these clips from it. To be honest with you, it's kind of an interesting longer clip, but I'm just going to play a portion of a clip from this movie from back in the 1980s. I don't know what movie it is. I don't know what title it is, but I'm looking at the screen and, you know, it's interesting to go watch movies from or TV shows from the 80s or 90s. Just the film is different. Just the acting is different. You know, you can tell something from the 40s and 50s because they all talk like this, right? Well, the 70s, 80s, 90s, they all kind of had their own genre of stuff, too. It's very interesting to see how acting and movie production has actually changed over the years when you go back and watch an older movie. I'm currently watching Twin Peaks, if anybody remembers that. I find it pretty entertaining. The acting's pretty bad. By and large, pretty bad. But it's an entertaining thing, an interesting story, and I just remember it being a very weird series from back in the 1990s, but you can just tell. You can tell this is not a modern episode. Anyway, I apologize in advance for the background music to this stuff. I don't know why people put this music behind every clip. I guess other people like this. Maybe it's more compelling. Maybe it can. The whole clip is 2 minutes and 19 seconds. I'm only going to play about 30 seconds of it. I don't need the music. But anyway, I apologize from that. But I thought the story told in this old movie from the 1980s was just kind of interesting.
When I met him at Findhorn, he said to me, "Where are you from?" And I said, "New York." He said, "Ah, New York, yes, that's a very interesting place. Do you know a lot of New Yorkers who keep talking about the fact that they want to leave but never do?" And I said, "Oh, yes." And he said, "Why do you think they don't leave?" I gave him different banal theories. He said, "Oh, I don't think it's that way at all." He said, "I think that New York is the new model for the new concentration camp, where the camp has been built by the inmates themselves, and the inmates are the guards, and they have this pride in this thing they've built. They've built their own prison, and so they exist in a state of schizophrenia, where they are both guards and prisoners, and as a result, they no longer have, having been lobotomized, the capacity to leave the prison they've made, or to even see it as a prison." And then he went into his pocket and he took out a seed for a tree and he said, "This is a pine tree." He put it in my hand and he said, "Escape before it's too late."
So why I thought that was interesting and appropriate for today's show is I think the political system is a prison that we have built for ourselves. They have convinced us that because we can vote, that we are responsible for where we are right now. And we become the actual prison guards of the prison that we've built for ourselves, but we only monitor the other side, right? We try to keep the other side in line. We call out the misbehavior of the other side and say, if it weren't for them, that they, you know, there's a lot of people saying, rightfully so, in many of these large metropolitan areas, these big cities that are just turning into hell holes. You say, well, this is what you voted for. Of course, we ignore the fact that not everybody in those towns vote. And not everybody in the towns that do vote actually vote for the leadership, be it in Jackson or Seattle or San Francisco or Chicago. And so there's a lot of good people trapped in these cities and jobs with families. They don't want to leave. But we just love to say, you voted for it. You get to just enjoy it. But we don't realize the effect of our own votes and the problems that we experience as a result of our own vote. So we create the prison because we believe we're free, because we're allowed to pick between two different people, usually manufactured by the parties that are telling us we have this great, air quotes here in the studio, democracy. And this is kind of where we are. And we can't even see this prison that we're in. Now, I believe we do hold some responsibility for the people we vote for, and this is why I haven't found a suitable candidate in about 20 years now to actually vote for. Donald Trump in 2016, the only person I voted for that ever won, ever came even close, because I will not rubber stamp any of the people that they've been putting on us for the past 20 years. But it is just interesting. You'd think that at some point we would begin to understand that we have built this prison and we're living in it. And here's, I'm going to get into a couple of these stories. I don't know. I think the vote is today. As you're listening to this show on Wednesday, or if you're listening on the podcast another day, but I believe it is Wednesday of this week that the House Republicans, pardon me if I've got some details of this wrong. I'm telling you, I'm divorcing politics. We're in a serious separation phase, just waiting for the final paperwork to be signed to where we never have anything to do with each other again. But I believe it's Wednesday that the Republicans are voting for the first time on getting rid of TikTok. Now, this was led by the Republican Party, because Republicans think you're a stupid child and they need to babysit you. Now, they will allow our own government, through their own legislation or lack of oversight and stopping what's going on, they will allow our own government to spy on us, to monitor our bank accounts, to watch our social media. They'll allow all of those things. They will allow you to be jailed for disobedience in Washington, D.C. or elsewhere. But they want you to believe that they are going to do this, to ban TikTok, to keep the country safe, to keep you and your country safe. Because again, in their eyes, you are a stupid child who needs to be told what to do. Now, I'm well on record saying I can't stand TikTok. It seems like just an attention span killer. But it's not enough for me to say you can't use it. You be you. I'll be me. I've never downloaded the app to save myself the endless distractions that it is. I see TikTok clips on Twitter. Occasionally, they're interesting. There's some great content creators out there utilizing the TikTok platform. But my point is, this is Republican-led, and isn't this... See, this is where I get so confused. Hasn't it been the Republicans and the right that has been the champion of free speech over the past few years, at least? You know, it was the left. And then the left abandoned all of their good core beliefs during the Obama administration because Obama was designed to be the fixer, the one that came in there and got the Democrats in line. See, Democrats were pretty bad, pretty good, actually, but if you're looking at it through government eyes, they were pretty bad about conforming and buying into the corporate stuff and the big pharma stuff and the military stuff and losing personal freedoms. The left was really good on a lot of those issues. Barack Obama came in and did away with all of that. He neutered the left. And the right has taken up this mantra of free speech, and now the right is introducing legislation to get rid of this app. Now, I know what you're saying. I've heard it too. This is not a ban on TikTok, Mike. They can sell to another company. And I've heard all of the great talking heads like Stephen Yates, poor Dana Loesch. Somebody get through to Dana Loesch and tell her she's interviewing a neocon with that Stephen Yates. Stephen Yates was the chief of staff, I believe, for Dick Cheney. And Dana Loesch will come on and talk about how the neocons are gone. We're so sick of the neocons. And then she will have almost a daily segment with Stephen Yates, one of the head neocons. Anyway, I've heard the argument. This is not, they're not forcing this to shut down. They're forcing them to sell or be taken off the App Store and you can't use it. Now, Thomas Massie has taken a look at this and said it's a little bit deeper than that. Thomas Massie is somebody who does understand freedom and is actually on the right and actually believes in freedom of speech. And again, you know, I almost feel dirty trying to defend TikTok. I don't like the app. I don't get it. I don't know what the attraction is. The whole thing. Maybe if I made money on it, I would understand. But Thomas Massie said the so-called TikTok ban is a Trojan horse. The president will be given the power to ban websites, not just apps. And the person breaking the law, the new law, is deemed to be the U.S. or offshore internet hosting service or app store, not the foreign adversary. So you can only imagine another tool. This is basically almost like another Patriot Act sold to you under the guise of national security. I still have yet to figure out exactly what is it that they're worried that the Chinese government is going to get from our TikTok information. Now, if the Chinese, and this has been said too, and there may be some validity to this, if the Chinese are using TikTok to screw with the minds of the American public, I got to tell you, they win. Great plan. We didn't have to accept it, but apparently we did. We licked it up with a spoon. But at least they didn't have to fire a shot. They didn't have to invade our country to destroy it. At this point, I almost respect somebody who can cripple a nation without harsh economic sanctions that destroy businesses just at a whim, that don't fire a shot, that don't require any violence. They just gave us a mind bug, and people willingly downloaded it and have been using it all along. But if it's about them extracting information from us, I can't figure out what in the world. I am much less concerned with the government of China having my information than I am the government of the United States. And these Republicans have not done a single thing to stop the United States from gathering all of your information. Banking requirements, what your bank has to do to tattle on you, has been getting more draconian over the years, all through Republican control of the presidency and the House and the Senate and the supermajority. That gets worse. Our tech companies are harvesting your data constantly. That's why you've got a free Facebook account, a free Gmail account, because they're harvesting your data. And we know that these companies, Facebook and Google, are tied at the hip to the government. We know the FBI sets up offices in these big tech companies. I'm a lot more fearful of what the U.S. government has of our information than I am whether or not Xi Jinping's got some nerds sitting in a basement over there harvesting my data. But just do not whine when another website, this is one of these slippery slopes, libertarians were screaming out in the edges when the Patriot Act was coming through, screaming, don't do this, don't do this. This is another one of these things sold to you in national security, but it's another power grab. And my understanding is this is presidential authority, not even congressional. Not to say that these nut jobs in Congress can't get together and do something horrific every single day they meet, but to leave this to the whim of one human being in the White House? This is an absolutely terrible idea. And how is it to me that the free speech right wing in this country are the ones that are initiating this and promoting it right now and possibly about to execute it? When I come back, another piece of confusion. For the free speech rights, I can't keep up. It's like watching a tennis match, trying to figure out who is actually in support of our First Amendment rights, our Fourth Amendment rights, our Second Amendment rights. It seems like it goes back and forth. I'll show you another example of this when we come back. Stick around.
Don't stop me now. Don't stop me. 'Cause I'm having a good time. Having a good time.
I'm a shooting star leaping through the sky.
You know, one other thing on this TikTok situation where maybe they don't ban TikTok, but they force ByteDance to sell their interest in this. I know we say, oh, it's what's controlled by the CCP. And I couldn't meet a person out there to ask him, well, how's the mechanism of that work? Who reports to who? Nobody really knows. But they just say, they just give you the China scare and immediately have to sell. But just imagine that shoe was on the other foot. That Twitter can be in the UK, or Twitter can be in Russia, or Twitter can be in Turkey, but Elon Musk has to sell it to a Turkish company. All the American companies that are out there that are dealing in data, I don't know, accounting software companies, other software companies. You can tell by my repetition of the term software companies that I'm completely computer illiterate, but I know there's a lot of tech out there that comes from the United States and goes to other countries. And you don't think our government's using that to spy on other countries? We know the tech companies are tied to our government at the hip. I can guarantee you that there's a whole lot of snooping. So what if this just, what if they go, okay, ByteDance just says, okay, well, we're going to sell that. But every company, every U.S. company that is in the People's Republic of China, you have to sell if you want to do any more business in China. Maybe all the BRICS countries get together and say, yeah, you know what? That's a great idea. That might really cut down on some of this spying and snooping in our citizen stuff. Every American company doing business in any one of the BRICS countries, particularly technology related, where there's these data transfers and sensitive personal information involved, every one of those companies needs to divest from being American-owned. I would imagine that wouldn't go over so well. So here's another one where I was really wildly confused. Again, I thought that I was welcoming the right on the side of free speech. I see so many people that were so abused by the censorship at Google and Facebook and Instagram and the rest of the places people post, that I thought that the right had really woken up to censorship, but I keep seeing these things pop up. So this is the cause for my confusion. Are Republicans and conservatives for government censorship or not? To me, that's kind of a yes or no question. Unfortunately, for a lot of Republicans, conservatives, it's a not usually, but... You know, and then they'll list out, you know, something with China or Iran. There's always an equivocator, right? I'm for free speech, but the First Amendment doesn't apply to X, Y, or Z. Is the right and are Republicans for hate crime laws or not? Again, this seems to me to be a yes or no question. I've always found hate crime laws to be ridiculous because I've lost a sibling to violent crime, and I don't really care the motivation of the person who did it. They should be penalized to the utmost of the law. Person who was involved in my situation committed suicide. No, nothing. But I always just thought that it was to try to make one victim better than another victim is really just kind of sick in what we're supposed to have, which is an equal society. And I thought Republicans were with me on that. I thought that Republicans didn't like these hate crime laws because we see so many bogus attempts, these hoaxes, all of these hate crimes that are blown up big in the media only to find out that it was perpetuated by the victim group themselves. And so I just really wish people could stick to a position. It would really help me out. This is Kristi Noem. She is the governor of South Dakota and a conservative and Republican hero. I broke some news on Kristi Noem a long time ago back during COVID. Number one, she's very cute. I'll just say it. She's an attractive woman. And she had one of the states that stood up against the COVID restrictions, and I lifted her up on my shoulders and trotted her around on my show for a few weeks. And then I found out that Kristi Noem actually had drafted some legislation to shut everything down in South Dakota, and it was her legislation, or her legislators, who said no. When that became popular, Kristi Noem, I believe, slapped her name on it and trotted around the country as this great example of freedom, a la Ron DeSantis. This really turned me against her because I thought, wow, not only was she headed in the wrong direction and it wasn't her choice to stop it, this is how I recall this story, but she went out and took credit for it. Really kind of built up her whole reputation on something that she was forced to do, not something she chose to do. So I haven't been a big Kristi Noem fan ever since then. She's so cute, though. Anyway, this is Kristi Noem, and she is on with Donald Trump's economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, and they are discussing hate crimes legislation.
I know in South Dakota you've got a bill, I think it's a new bill combating anti-Semitism or reaffirming old bills. Could you just tell us a little bit about that, because it's such an important issue?
Well, this is a bill that defines what anti-Semitism is, and it has examples that we put in statute that will be used as model legislation in every other state to make sure we're defining what a hate crime is and that we can prosecute those who engage in it. It really is the strongest language in this country to push back on some of what we've seen for hatred being spread across this country since the October 7th attacks. So I was devastated to see some folks in this country be uneducated and some maybe purposefully stand with pro-Hamas and attack our allies Israel and our brothers and sisters in the Jewish community. So this bill we signed into law today in the rotunda of our Capitol. We had hundreds and hundreds of people there. Mm. It was amazing to see the unity and the support. We have one of the smallest Jewish communities in the entire country, but we dearly love them and stand with our allies and are proud to sign this bill that I believe many, many, many other states are going to use because it gives them strong language that we can win in court and prosecute those who engage in hate crimes.
Well, congratulations on that. We appreciate it. Governor Kristi Noem, thank you ever so much. Good to see you.
So he appreciates that. Again, that was Larry Kudlow. That was Trump's economic advisor. So these are two big players in the Republican Party and really even in the MAGA movement, pushing hate crime legislation that they believe will be a model for the rest of the country. They anticipate many states joining them in and prosecuting, as she said, these hate crime laws. So this is interesting. Because what I've heard from the right for the longest time now, and I've agreed with it, is nobody has a right to not be offended. Free speech is free speech, and it's the reason we have the First Amendment. One of the reasons the free speech provision of that is for unpopular and really even gross speech. Things that most people would really not agree with. Of course, it depends on the time, doesn't it? There are a lot of people that didn't agree with speaking out against the vaccine. And so I've watched the right, and again, I agreed with them, rightfully take on all these ridiculous hate crime laws because nobody has a right to prosecute somebody because they were offended. Well, I guess there's an exception to that on the right. If it's against Jewish people or even perceived to be against Jewish people, there's a lot of people that would accuse me of anti-Semitism because I believe what the Israeli government is doing in Gaza right now is absolutely horrific. A lot of people are really with this. So interesting to me. The country that was founded by the Rothschilds. The place where the seat of the New World Order is supposed to go. This very woke government of Israel with a neocon. The neocon project really revolves around Israel. Yet a lot of people who say, I don't like the neocons. I don't like the New World Order. I don't like the woke stuff. But I stand with the government that pushes all three. Very weird to me. But I don't know. Maybe Mississippi, I would imagine this would be very popular. Is it? I mean, this again, I'm so confused. Do you stand for free speech or only free speech unless it's speech you don't like? And then that's not really free speech. That's hate speech, Mike. We can talk about the Democrats and the liberals and black or gay or white or Hispanic. We can do all those things. That's our God-given right, our First Amendment right. But we can't speak about these people. You understand what I'm saying? Why this lack of consistency leaves somebody like me so confused on exactly where people stand on this stuff? I know a lot of people can make justifications of why they want to carve out their group. Oh, I'm all for free speech, except that because it's a lot of the left right now saying really terrible things about Israel and even about Jewish people. And yeah, I don't like to listen to it either, but that's what free speech is. Whether I like it or not, you either get it or you don't. You don't get to pick and choose your freedoms. Like I started the show with, everything that needs to be said has already been said, but nobody's listening, so I'll say it again. Let me say it again. You can't pick and choose your freedoms. Have a spine. Have a core belief, for the love of God. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, where free speech is still allowed. Knock on wood. I am not going to spend any significant time on the State of the Union. I don't watch these things. I haven't since probably around 2003, 2004, where I realized, you know, I was just really becoming a kind of a self-aware human being, getting into my adulthood, and I went, oh, This is just a bunch of lies and pandering. And I really can't stand to watch what a script writer writes for somebody. You know, sometimes you can glean a little bit of information out of it. It's interesting. Somebody had posted this on Twitter. They said, I don't watch State of the Union addresses just like I don't watch celebrity award shows. Just a bunch of narcissists and sociopaths patting one another on the back and pretending for the camera to keep you entertained. Amen. But I would imagine that there's been plenty of talk about the State of the Union. I've seen some clips of the old man screaming at everybody. It really was just pathetic. I got to tell you, if I was a Russian, if I was Chinese, if I was Iranian, if I was any country that the United States has really messed with, I would have popped popcorn to watch that thing and just laughed and laughed and laughed and said, this is what they've got over there. As bad as they are to us over here, I think they've got it worse. I mean, Joe Biden is the biggest embarrassment that I've ever seen. It is, I don't know how anyone could have sat through that. But just as I say, I'm confused on what Republicans are for and against and conservatives are for and against. This kind of plays into that as well, because I actually ran across a clip. This is from, I believe, last year's State of the Union. And Joe Biden hurls an accusation at the Republicans in Congress, and they really took exception to it. But I want you to hear what he says and then the reaction of Republicans to when he says it.
Making the wealthy pay their fair share, some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset. I'm not saying it's a majority. Let me give you, anybody who doubts it, contact my office. I'll give you a copy of the...
Okay, and this is, you hear that? Joe Biden says Republicans want to sunset Social Security and Medicare, and the Republicans are incensed. This is from last year. Kevin McCarthy is behind him, shaking his head no. Marjorie Taylor Greene is standing up in protest and pointing her finger at him. Boo! No, we would never do this. Now, what's interesting to me about that is Social Security and Medicare are huge socialist programs. I mean, there's no denying it. I'm not saying there may be people, and I know there are probably people listening to this show right now who are getting checks and it helps their life and they're getting the drugs they need and, you know, all the kinds of things that a government entitlement does, right? It's very popular with the people on the receiving end of it. Not so much on the people who are having to pay for it right now, knowing they'll get no semblance of what's been paid out in previous years through inflation or cuts to benefits or whatever. Social Security and Medicare, again, these are gargantuan socialist programs born of the New Deal, the Democrat FDR. And Republicans are incensed with anybody that would dare accuse them of dismantling these monstrosities of socialism. They wouldn't dare remove it, and they add to it. I've talked about it many times. It was the Republicans that added Medicare Part D, the largest entitlement since LBJ and the Great Society, so that young working people can pay for elderly people's drugs. Seems a bit unfair, but this is just socialism for the greater good, I guess. Of course, it was actually a payoff to Big Pharma. And as much as I am against, along with the Republicans, why should I pay for someone else's college tuition? I paid off my college. Why am I paying for that person's college? I would say the same thing for, why am I paying for that person's retirement? Why am I paying for that person's medical care? Why am I paying for that person's pharmaceutical drugs? Well, Mike, we paid into it. That's what I always hear. This is one of my least popular segments. Out of a lot of unpopular segments, this is probably one of my least favorite. When I explained to people a long time ago and had a lot of angry calls and a couple of emails about the fact that you're not getting your money back. You sat on your hands while they told you to your face they were stealing all of the money out of the Social Security Trust Fund. You are getting money, a check every month, from young workers that are still out there working and sacrificing and having a chunk of their checks taken out to support your retirement. You elected people and then you didn't keep your eye on them and they told you to your face they're raiding the Social Security Trust Fund and putting IOUs in there and you did nothing. Now, I'm with you. I can't stand that the government robs us of anything and forcing you into a retirement program so that, you know, heaven forbid we actually save ourselves or rely on family and come together as a family unit and buddy up with friends and do whatever we need to like they used to prior to the 1930s to retire. But it's just amazing to me because I hear these Republicans say they're fighting socialism tooth and nail, but when it's suggested that they are actually against a huge socialist program, they want you to know for certain, oh no, we're not. We are for that socialist program. And what I wonder is, are there really that many old people? And this is a rhetorical question because the answer is yes. There are enough old people out there that are getting benefits from these programs that they would actively get together, even on the Republican side. Now, we know the Democrats love entitlements. We know they love big government. We know they don't understand economics. But Republicans who profess to understand economics and want small, limited government, ooh, they would also vote against anybody who dared touch their Social Security. And how selfish is that? Now, there's a whole lot of ways to start trimming down Social Security, but it needs to be abolished. It's a socialist program. And I actually have a little bit of, let me read something to you real quick. This is Wiley.com. This was linked to a study. It said, our evaluation on lifetime contributions and expected benefits indicates that both Medicare Part A and Social Security are progressive from a lifetime perspective, fulfilling its intended purpose of subsidizing the benefits of low and average wage workers while requiring higher wage workers to pay more into the system than they will draw out. This is a factor that tends to be overlooked in some of the analysis, implying that all workers need to pay to cover their later benefits. It's a transfer of wealth. And you know people that work most jobs, it just takes one medical emergency or one disability during the course of your life, and you are drawing out way more than you ever put into Social Security. The only benefit is that a lot of people will die before they ever collect anything. And that's the, you know, that's how people actually, that's the only thing keeping the system afloat. It may be the reasons they rolled out the COVID shots. But Republicans are against any mention of the fact that they would not be in total favor of this socialist program. I don't care. Well, Mike, it's politics. They know they'll lose the old vote. Well, shame on you old people who know what a train wreck Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid is leaving for our children, but you will defend it tooth and nail to keep your checks coming in. Now, I've got an interesting thing on this. Where does Donald Trump stand on the issue? He said some pretty interesting things about this, actually. I'm going to give him a little bit of credit, and then he's going to whipsaw me. I don't know where he stands on this. We'll do that when I come back. Stick around. All right, final segment for the day. It was just kind of interesting. I'd already had these notes when I saw that clip a few days ago about Republicans just incensed that they would dismantle any actual socialism in our federal government. And then I ran across a story today. MSN was doing a hatchet job on Trump. I can't remember exactly what the headline was. Was it something like Trump campaign scrambles? And let me just read you some of this story. This is about Donald Trump, and this is where I say, I don't know what Republicans and conservatives stand for. I mean, I might be more supportive if you kind of held in place for a little while and on some of the good things. But listen to this one. This was just kind of interesting. This was in the story about Trump. When asked how the U.S. could cut spending and his outlook on handling entitlements like Social Security and Medicare benefits, Trump suggested cuts could be made to the programs which offer guaranteed financial support to retired and disabled workers. Quote, there is a lot you can do in terms of entitlements, in terms of cutting, and in terms of also the theft and the bad management of entitlements, tremendous bad management of entitlements. There's tremendous amounts of things and numbers of things you can do, Trump told this to CNBC's Joe Kernan. It would have been, I wish I had a good Trump impression, because that's very Trumpian, isn't it? You can kind of hear him repeating some of the same words over and over again. But look, to his credit, he goes out in public and says, yeah, I mean, if you want to get spending under control, we can't not touch entitlements. Welfare, Medicare, Medicaid, Medicare Part D, that's the payoff to Big Pharma, it all has to be on the table. We're going bankrupt. What are we at now? $1 trillion every 100 days? And so Donald Trump says this, great to his credit. I mean, I wish he'd go further and go, look, this is socialism. It's going bankrupt. We're asking young kids that have no hope of ever receiving any benefits on the pace that we're on right now to subsidize 70, 80-year-old people's retirements. That's not fair. I mean, and the great thing is, as a guy who was not in politics, he could point to the rest of them and go, look, these people back here, for 30, 40 years, they've been stealing money out of the Social Security Trust Fund. They're the ones that left the cupboard bare. Now we cannot afford it. These are also, well, he can't blame them all because he was such a big spender, but he could say, look, we got $34 trillion in debt. We're spending $1 trillion a year just on interest on the debt that these degenerates ran up in our name. Something's got to give. And so I'm kind of with Trump on this, to at least say the words, yes, some cuts. And he's right. I can't imagine how much there is in terms of just a bloated bureaucracy, bad management, and scams and everything else that are feeding at the trough of this giant socialist program. But then there's this. Later in the story, it says Social Security and Medicare have long been contentious issues across both parties. Notably, Trump had previously urged Republican lawmakers to keep their hands off the programs during the fight to raise the debt ceiling last year, saying that, quote, under no circumstances should Republicans vote to cut a single penny from Medicare or Social Security. I mean, come on. Give me something I can work with here, people. Even Trump gets it right, but 2 weeks ago he had it wrong. I mean, so I don't know where Trump stands on it. I don't know where the Republican Party stands on it. They're just going to let it go because they want old people's votes. And again, I'm sorry to say this. I know some older people listen to this show, and I think they're kind of felt, I think they understand what I'm saying. And I'm not telling you to rip up your check. What I've said for everybody that's getting Social Security, you should be taking that check and signing it or putting it into an account or something for your children and your grandchildren. To me, that's about the only thing that I can think is fair, and it's what I would anticipate doing for my children. No, maybe I need it. Maybe sometimes you need it. I understand life happens. But what we are doing as a society to our next generations across the board is not fair, and Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid are those things. Imagine what has happened to the cost of health care over the past 30 years. So you were working a full-time job at your peak earnings 30 years ago, having a little bit of your check taken out to put into Medicare, and now you get cancer and suddenly you've got a $468,000 bill going to Medicare. You think you paid for that? You think your contributions covered that? I'm just saying. So this is just another one of these things. We've got a giant socialist Ponzi scheme that nobody on the right who professes to be against giant socialist programs and the socialists, I mean, all I hear is we're fighting the socialist, we're fighting the communist, yet we've got a graduated income tax, which is one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto. We've got these monstrous entitlement programs, which are just socialist and communist programs. I mean, I could go down the list. I'll have to do a whole show. If you look at the Communist Manifesto, all 10 planks are firmly in place in the United States to one degree or another. This is one of the easiest ones. They need to have, and this is why I always thought Trump should have had a fireside chat instead of tweeting and doing the rest of the stuff. He should have sat people down and went, hey, these people up here, I hadn't been around. I've been a businessman earning money. I've been paying taxes. I've been employing people. But while I've been out doing that, these people up there have destroyed the finances of this country. We got some hard choices ahead. He had every opportunity to do it 4 years. He didn't do it. He sure as hell ain't going to do it on the campaign trail, I don't think. And nobody seems to be holding the Republicans accountable for dismantling huge socialist programs here in the United States, all while talking about opposing socialism. As Clay Edwards would say, make it make sense. That's all the time I've got for today. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
We rise to the top, what you want, just